So that's how I was introduced to permaculture, through a very harsh and pointed criticism. The fact that we started with nothing, it really helps other people realize that they can do this too. And there's no hook, you know. We believe in the permaculture ethic.
Hello, and welcome to the Permaculture Vine podcast. Today we have Jim Gale with us. Welcome, Jim.
Hello, Cormac. Good to be here, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, all good. And I like your background there, the food forest.
Yeah, 21 months ago, it was sand. Nothing but sand. Now it's thriving.
Yeah, it's pretty. The last year, he's done some work.
Yeah, it's been an incredible, incredible journey. We've learned a lot. The fact that we started with nothing, it really helps other people realize that they could do this too.
John, do you want to just give a pretty short introduction and who you are, and then we'll get into the end of your longer story, and then we can get into the end what Food Forest Abundance is about and all the ways that the designers and people can get involved working with you?
Love it. Yeah, so my name is Jim Gale. I learned what was going on about 17 years ago, and I have been incredibly passionate and motivated to bring the solutions to the world. The solution is permaculture, and it brings us here to a demonstration site here in Central Florida where we're demonstrating the solution to mass extinction and deforestation and cancer and diabetes and heart disease and world hunger and tyranny all in one spot.
Permaculture definitely is a solution.
Yeah.
So you mentioned there that you discovered permaculture as the solution. When did that happen? You want to tell us that story?
Yeah, it happened. I was in Costa Rica at the time. I had sold a mortgage company previously that did about $1.3 billion in gross revenue. I had time, and I was actually developing a golf course project. And I always loved fruit trees, and I always loved nature. In fact, they called me Nature Boy growing up. So when I was thinking about the golf course, we bought this old cattle pasture. And it was basically a biological desert. There was not much life in it. And my vision was to turn it into a golf course with fruit trees and berry bushes and vines and all of this natural habitat going up and down every fairway, and then inviting the toucans and the scarlet macaws and all the life into the golf course where people could interact with this incredible natural system. And what happened was a couple gals, I heard that they were saying very, very bad things about me. And so I was curious as to why, because I thought what I was doing was wonderful. And so I invited them into my office. And while there, they really beat me up hard. They're like, you don't have a clue. This is a natural ecosystem and a golf course will destroy it. And I said, well, not the golf course I'm putting in. It'll enhance it. But anyway, they didn't buy it. And they mentioned the term permaculture to me. I had not heard the term before that. And so they left the office and I dove right in. I'm like, what is this permaculture that they're talking about? So that's how I was introduced to permaculture, through a very harsh and pointed criticism. But I don't mind criticism.
No, definitely not. So you transitioned then from you made a lot of money. I can't remember the exact figure. And how did you bring them skills into making money, your previous background in business and operating a business, and then you find and discover permaculture? How did them two merge?
It's funny because, you know, I made all this money in the mortgage business. The word mortgage means death pledge. And I recognized after a few years in that the business itself was just, it didn't inspire me. And so I kind of actually repelled from this. I went from zero. I grew up, my dad was a pipe fitter. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. So grew up wonderful. It was loving. It was healthy and fun, but we didn't have a ton of money. And so then when I made a bunch of money, I realized that money wasn't going to solve the disconnection that I felt. And so I actually got very passionate. I started a foundation called the Wisdom Foundation. My goal was to bring emotional intelligence to every school in the country. And interestingly, the mortgage industry, the business itself, was made up of processors, which are people who are very detailed. They're the ones who take the information and make sure it's dialed in for the banks. Then the loan officers. So we had processors who are the detail people and loan officers who are the outside salespeople. Well, what I recognized was that permaculture is very similar. Designers like yourself are very good at detail. And sometimes the salespeople aren't as good at detail. So I recognize that to put those two together, to find ways to bring the designers and what we call cooperative partners together is going to benefit everybody, right? In the mortgage industry, the processors weren't good at sales and the salespeople weren't good at processing. So it's the same general model. So after some time of putting things together and using the permaculture principles, by the way, you know, like accept feedback and make small changes. Well, that's basically what we've been doing. We've been integrating what I've learned in other areas and what everybody has learned, right? That's the important part, is bringing the team in and asking for our combined wisdom to come together for one common goal, and that's to bring permaculture mainstream.
Yeah, great stuff. So when you discovered permaculture then and you learned about it, what was your first step saying it getting into? What was your next step basically then after you discovered it?
Well, it was a process, and it still is a process. It's like an elevation of awareness and details, like, you know, like the mycelium network creates this communication system between plants. That's what our intention is to bring all the people together to create a communication web between all of the people who have relevant solutions and services and products. I'm gonna sit here in the shade. It's kind of cool out, but it got a little bit hot there. So that's the process. It's a continuous learning thing. And it's so much fun, too. That's what's so great about permaculture. I am ignorant in infinite ways. And I learn something every time I give a tour where I'm meant to be the teacher. I've learned on every single tour from the people taking the tour.
Yeah, that's what I can't think of all the questions. And you do tours there as well. So what's the tours about?
In fact, the tours are an incredible way to expose, inspire, and empower people. When we bring people on these tours, we have had a 100% inspired rate. Not one person has ever left here and said, this place sucks. And so what happens, the intention of the tour is to show people what's possible and then to invite them to go home wherever they are, right? Garden what you've got. Start wherever you are and start building life into your habitat, into your ecosystem. In Central Florida, by the way, where our farm is called Galt Landing, and the website is galtlanding.farm. And yeah, and we have Airbnbs now. We're on a private 400-acre lake. We've got a runway to the east of us, a mile-long paved runway. So the vision is that Galt Landing will be a catalyst, one of many. And then the next question is, how do we create these systems all over the world? How do we create these systems? And we've got them going up in Thailand and Africa and Canada and the United States. How do we duplicate this so it can be done everywhere?
Yeah. And you use multiple sort of income streams there. I know I've been away for a year. Since I go back, there's more. Yeah. Just recently announced the greenhouses. We started the start. So the design, how did FFA come about? How did that start?
Oh, it started with an explosion of energy. So it started where I had a kiosk at a mall. And I opened it in November of 2019. And it was a living kiosk where we demonstrated living systems. I sold CBD and plant medicines and essential oils. And then we were just literally designing our permaculture marketing piece. So we're going to be selling permaculture design and installation from the kiosk. And that was before any of this was here. And then the government interjected and brought us the whole COVID thing. Well, I invested all my remaining money into this kiosk and it was rocking. It was doubling in revenue. Everything was good. And then boom, it was shut down. So I was dead broke. It was really freaky. It created that feeling of ultimate scarcity. And then I energetically realized that feeling of scarcity, which was what was bringing me the scarcity. So I stepped in with a lot of help, a lot of teachers, to this energy of faith and courage. And then through a series of events, I ended up writing Del Bigtree a letter because I knew he was speaking close to me. And I walked up and I said, Del, I wrote this for you. I would love to share this message. And he read it. He got so excited. He said, we're going to do a show on you. This is wonderful. And next thing you know, he does a show, a 33-minute show called Creating Abundance in Your Backyard. And when that launched, we went from myself and Travis full-time and Ian part-time to, and we'd done 6 designs in the previous 3 months or so. And all of a sudden, we had hundreds of customers asking us for services. And that's when we had about, I think we had 7 or 8 designers on the team at the very start. And some of them had a little bit of experience. Some had a lot. Some didn't have much at all. And so recognizing where we are in the world, I thought, okay, well, we're going to serve these people to the best of our ability. We're going to learn and we're going to grow and then we're going to keep serving. And it was crazy. We now, since then, we have learned a lot and we have created what I believe is one of, if not the most comprehensive permaculture service in the industry. We don't compete with anybody, by the way. We collaborate with anybody who wants to collaborate. We don't have any patents or any NDAs or any non-competes. Everything we do is open source because we recognize that it's through collaboration that we can change the world together. So it has been an incredible 2.5-year process, and we're now serving people. We've spoken to people and assisted people in 54 countries and 50 U.S. states.
Yeah, that's quite a reach he's out there. And it's one of the things I like working with Spirit Forest Abundance is that non-compete. Like, I can take a design and do it myself, or I can do it to yourselves. And I can bring you the work. It doesn't matter. There's no, it's a nice way to work.
Yeah. Everybody wins.
Yeah.
And there's no hook. You know, we believe in the permaculture ethics, you know, fair share, earth care, and people care. And the word share, by the way, is a voluntary act not done through governments at the point of a gun, right? So when we follow those principles and we intend for one thing, let's provide value and let's never stop until we're done, until the world is completely free and abundant. And here's the vision. The vision is so exciting because there's only 2 reasons not to do this, ignorance and evil. It's good on every conceivable level to take the poisons out of our systems and grow food instead of lawn. And so it's really gathering a lot of attention. In fact, 2 presidential candidates who very much dislike each other, by the way, Bobby Kennedy and Dr. Shiva, I've met with both of them recently, and Bobby Kennedy said he's in and he's going to come here and he's going to spread this message through his campaign. Dr. Shiva, and you can look up his website, our talk, which was like 13 or 14 days ago, is now at the front page of his past talks. It's on the front of his page. So they recognize, even though they're diametrically opposed in a lot of areas, they and many other people in the world of influence are starting to recognize the value of permaculture.
Yeah, it's good to just spread the message and reaching them types of people and them circles. So food forest abundance, consultations, designs was where he started. And then I think next came the installer network? Can you tell us about that kind of opportunity?
Yes. Yes, and I do want to spend just another bit on the value of design. As a person that's not a detailed person myself, I cannot do what designers do. I can design from a high level, and this is very intentional because I know where my skills are and where my joy is. So I appreciate designers more than they could ever imagine. The designers, the way they can get in, and like this system right here, right where my chair is. The land is raised right here. And this is perennial peanut, which is a nitrogen-fixing crop. And the reason the land is raised right here is so that when we have a rain event, the rain will come in and it'll pool and it'll settle, right? So the principle of catch and store water is demonstrated here, right? And check out the bananas back here. This is such an epic living system. So my point is design is step one. If you want to grow food, once you've got the desire to be free and healthy and be part of the solution to the world's greatest problems, then the next step is to design your space, right? And then once it's designed, that's when our cooperative installation network comes in. And we've got cooperative partners in many places, over 100 of them around the world. And their intent, their job, their desire is to go into your yard, into your space, and actually build these systems. Right? So when the design is done, it's a very comprehensive, detailed plan, like an architectural plan. Once that's done, then you can either DIY it with our help or on your own, or you could hire a cooperative installation partner to do the whole thing.
Yeah, it's great. I like working with the installer as well. So there is that communication between the design and install. It's always nice to get an informed installer as well. It makes it a lot easier. Because when they go on site, there's things that need changing, things need adjusting. And when you can work together as a team, it makes things easier.
You know, what you just shared, Cormac, is one of the most important learnings that we've had throughout our process. When we start with the design itself, permaculture is a long-term solution, right? It's not like just building a raised bed. It's much more detailed and comprehensive than that, as you know. So one of the things we've learned is that it's good to be aware of what plants are understories and what plants need dapple light or they need full shade. So we're constantly evolving and adding layers to the process for the one simple goal is to have the system be successful. And then we're adding layers of support systems as well. So if somebody who is in our network or frankly just wants to grow food and help the world says, I would like to, you know, how do I solve this problem, for instance? We have the people on staff that can help people solve those problems.
Yeah, and as well, how do they become an installer?
Installer, give us a call and talk with Matthew Britt or Graham or one of our folks. And it's basically fairly easy. If you are like working outside, if you like landscaping, or if you just want to have a business like this, installing these systems, then just get a hold of us and we'll basically share the whole process with you. It's basically landscaping. It's just really functional, hyper-functional landscaping.
Yeah, we have a team of designers and experts behind you.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And a movement
as well. Andy does too. And then he's talking about the end of the next level with the Freedom Farm Academies.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, do you want to say also about them?
Sure. So the Freedom Farm Academy is what happened is as I was developing what I wanted my homestead to be here, right here at Galt's Landing, I wanted to have off-grid water systems with redundancy. I wanted to have off-grid energy systems. I wanted to have an abundance of life and joy and beauty and food. And so as I was walking people around, people are like, I would like to have that. I want to have that. I want to have a tiny home. I want to have this. I want to have that, or whatever it was. And then I started recognizing this is a model. And many people want this type of model. So then we turn that into a business model itself. We actually have 18 Freedom Farm Academies going up around the world, which are basically off-grid homesteads that produce all of the food, water, and energy needs on site. And they incorporate many different income streams. For instance, we just sold 2 solar designs. People coming here say, I want to get off-grid solar. Great. We've got the connections for that. So then we make a referral, and then we receive a commission. People want to have the water system, or they want to have Humigenics with Pat Miletich, humic folic. They want to have mushroom compost, or all these different components that we are now connected with all the producers of these products and services. Then this becomes like the kind of the anti-establishment type of business model, where it actually brings us into complete freedom and self-reliance, as opposed to reliance on the government systems.
Yeah, and that's why I could use a Godwell and connections makes it easier. It saves someone years. Basically planning, and it would get them there quicker. So for our listeners, basically we're trying to provide value in terms of showing them different careers or business models. It should definitely something they should consider.
And the demonstration part of it is so much fun. So when people do tours, I've had a lot of people standing right here crying, weeping with joy. Right? And just walking them around and showing them how it all fits together, it's a really fun thing to do.
Yeah, and you have a school on site as well, I believe.
We're doing that now, actually. Miriam, we've got an operator now. We've got the location. And check this out. The students of the school are going to operate, for the most part, with guidance, the greenhouse and the nursery. Riley is going to be the main owner manager of the nursery, and then the students are going to share in the profits. So it will be a school model that creates its own revenue streams. The students are going to actually create classes for the community at large. So the students will be teaching the community how to grow food and then actually propagating plants and helping them grow.
They're basically teaching them what's not taught in mainstream school.
Yeah.
That's class. And then what else is the Freedom Farm Academies? You have the recent one of the greenhouses. You're adding that business on as well.
Yeah, in fact, we're going to market right now. Previous to my deep awareness in building soil, right, the essence of permaculture, I was a greenhouse designer. And I designed 2 greenhouses, and they're fantastic. They catch their own energy. They catch their own water. They have multiple mediums like microgreens and hydroponics. We even had a light built in that was a bug zapper that dropped the dead bugs into the aquaponics fish tank, right? So it was a hyper-functional off-grid greenhouse. So now... 5 years ago, we had 2 major problems with this greenhouse. The cost, because it's a very durable and hyper-functional system, the cost was too much. And that's one of the reasons I stepped away from that, because I asked myself the question, if somebody had $25,000 or $30,000 to spend, what would be the best use of funds? And the best use of funds is always building soil. It's permaculture design and planting seeds in healthy soil. That's going to get the best ROI. But I've also recognized, especially lately, there are so many people who want to extend their growing season by adding greenhouses. So now that we have the manufacturing facility, the marketing, and this is the biggest part, we have now partnered with New Energy World, and they have a 3D printed steel frame construction where we can reduce the cost of the framing by more than 60%. So our major problem, which was cost, is more than solved. And our second problem was that the systems were very hard to put together. They were incredibly complicated. It took us over a week with two inexperienced people to put this greenhouse together. Now, with New Energy World, they come with panelized on trucks. They can literally drop off the whole greenhouse kit, and two experienced people can put the whole thing together in a day.
That's really good that it's done in a day, and you get that season extension right away.
Yeah.
And they get a design from FFA, and you get, you know, what the block where and when.
Yep, it's all stacked in.
Yeah. That's, there's a lot to that there. How do you manage it all? How do you just, is it, you seem to have a lot of ideas and just rumble them?
So that's such a relevant question, Cormac. I manage it by not trying to manage it. I work, find people that are skilled, that have risen up and proven that they are ethical and that they can work and that they get it. And then we simply plug people into the right places, right? So the greenhouse business, that's Travis and Matthew and Brian Arnold and New Energy World and FFA. So it's a teamwork type of thing where I don't try to manage it. They're all owners of the business. I'm not an owner of that business directly. I'm part owner in FFA. But what that allows us to do is control is an illusion, right? This idea that I can control things, I found out long ago that that doesn't work. So instead, I bring up the ideas to the best of my ability and then just hand them off. And then if somebody doesn't work with a particular idea, we don't have contracts with hooks in them. So somebody says, oh, I can't do it. Great. Let's find out who can.
Yeah, that's a good idea to help. Has been a challenge at mine. Is my attitude was more like ask forgiveness, not permission.
Yeah, I love it.
But then some people need that step-by-step guidance, and then it just becomes too much work. I like your attitude of handing it off and can't do it, just pass it on. That's a good way to work. And especially for us now, fine, partner with FFA as well, because we have the blog. We'll be sending blog traffic your way, and then also an affiliate commission too. Happy to do that, because we couldn't basically cope. Was it? If I get all the designs down tomorrow myself, I couldn't. And that's having that team there that we can tap onto that resource off the FFA and the support and the manuals and all that expertise. It just makes sense for us now at this stage. Just go, right, we'll just do this. But we're just content. Yeah. And then somebody else can fulfill the order and help us.
I love it.
Yeah. So it's, I have nice and nice. That's an announcement there. We're sort of, we'll not be fulfilling the designs looking at the FFA.
I love it.
Right. It was good for us. It's a good opportunity.
And the amount of energy I want to share too, we've got a TV show that has just been funded to the tune of $2 million.
Wow.
And we don't know the name for sure. I'm not sure if I can say the name because it was come up with by our team at Yow Media, but it's going to be going into people's backyards, kind of like we did with Adrian Grenier from Entourage. And transforming backyards from lawns into beautiful, thriving food forests. And we're going to put it all on high-quality film, and we've got a lot of ways to get this to market. We've also got a documentary going and in a book. So all of these different energy systems are going out at the same time, which will lead to massive amounts of business. And there are not enough designers in the world to take all of the business that we are going to be inspiring, right? So that's why collaborating is absolutely essential.
Yeah, it's like you need that guild of people. You need the guild of plants. Learned by nature. You've done a lot of things there, a lot of different business ideas. And for some permaculture people, it's a struggle to find that energy to actually go out and earn money and actually promote it as a business and market it. What advice would you have for them to sort of shake that stigma off?
You know, that's exactly what we're here to do. In fact, we just had a big meeting about that today, about how some people are really good at particular pieces of the business world puzzle, but they're not good at other pieces. And so we bring the pieces of the puzzle together. If somebody's good at design, but they don't want to install, great. We've got installers and vice versa. If they're good at marketing, but they don't want to do other things, great. Bring them on, right? We will collaborate with marketers in a way where everybody benefits. So that's exactly kind of what we're doing, is we're creating the whole network, the whole community of stewards that we understand, we understand why it's essential to collaborate, because we are essentially at war. There's a war going on, and from whatever perspective you believe it to be, whether you believe in the narratives that are all out there spoken by the mainstream or not, this solves all of them. Coming together and collaborating and becoming producers as well as consumers, inspiring that shift in our culture is the idea whose time has come stronger than all the armies of the world.
Yeah, definitely. More people need to look at themselves and their own energy, at what they produce, not stand on their iPhones, but just stop oil.
Yeah.
Well, to me, it's like, go plant a garden, inspire your neighbor, learn how to grow, learn how to do these things, and just show what's possible. And that energy, because I think it's more powerful as well, a negative energy. So sitting complaining about it isn't going to change it, but it'd be to just keep at it, keep going, and positively. It's definitely a nicer way to be, you know?
Yeah,
for sure. It's fun.
And it's fun as well out in the garden with a book, and you're getting dirty, you're getting fat, you're getting healthy, you're out in vitamin D, your mental health. And just take a bit of responsibility for your own consumption. Become a producer.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to do anyway.
Right.
Slowly but surely. Jim, is there anything we haven't covered there? Because we've covered quite a bit.
Well, the invite for everybody listening to be part of the solution, because it's the best thing we could do for ourselves, our families, our communities, and our world. There's a lot of talk right now about the economy experiencing a systemic collapse, the dollar failing, EMPs, all this scary talk. Let's rise above all the narratives that are destructive and fear-based and scarcity-based, and let's demonstrate an abundance of energy, an abundance of service. In fact, this is something I love to share with people. The most selfish thing I could ever do, based on what's happening in the world, is to serve my community, is to love my community. The more I love and the more I serve my community, the more the community serves me back without asking. That's the fun part. I have received way over $1 million worth of gifts. That might not be the right word, but worth of services that I look at as gifts in the last 2 years. I don't have a ton of money in the bank because I use my fiat and I put it into the ground. I compost the fiat. The dollar is shit. It's going down, where the price of these food producing plants is going up rapidly, right? So like growing food during a food supply chain collapse is so logical, right? So we can completely destroy all the narratives of fear and scarcity by demonstrating that we have faith and courage and that we desire to serve, and that over time will be recognized and it will bring great things to us as individuals and families and communities.
Yeah, I like that message. It's very positive, and it's focusing on yourself, not anybody else. And then hope that message spreads.
Yeah.
So, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Great chatting and a lot of value. We'll put them links in the description. So if anybody wants to work with FFB and any capacity we spoke of, I'll leave the links. I'll leave my strategy session link as well if you want to talk to me about the design. And also,
I love it.
John, thank you very much.
Thank you, Cormac, and come visit sometime. We'd love to host you here at the Airbnbs.
Oh, definitely. Well, maybe I'll leave it there after the election, yeah.
I love it. All right. Have a good one, brother.